Different people were asking me, are you excited? And I've been excited all day about tonight. After another 2 months of lockdown, it's a delightsome thing to see people again in the house of God. And we're here to worship the Lord and to rejoice in Him. And we're able to sing, albeit with masks on, but we're able to sing. And our opening praise is, here in Thy name we are gathered. Come and revive us, O Lord. There shall be showers of blessing Thou hast declared in Thy word. Everyone has returned tonight, and maybe on the Sabbath day might be the same, but you're here. We're glad that you're here, and we're going to come to seek the Lord now in prayer. As we do so, there are just a couple of matters that I want to mention to you. First of all, we're delighted to see Sarah back with us again. She hasn't been well. She's been off work ever since she took so ill that particular, it was a Saturday morning. But she's here tonight, and we know that the congregation has been remembering her at the throne of grace. There's another lady that we do pray for, a young woman that some of you know, Joanne Peden. And Joanne has been very unwell in recent days, in recent weeks. In fact, the most recent bout of illness has lasted now 2 years. And on top of what her problems are with ME, she has developed a growth behind her eye. It's pressing upon one of those eyes, and she's described it like 100 wasps stinging your eye at the one time. And she's almost blind. In fact, tonight she can't see. And she's had a couple of minor strokes, and she had another one this evening. And we had the opportunity to talk with her and to pray with her just before this meeting tonight. Do remember, Joanne, that the Lord will intervene in a mighty way in her life. We continue to pray for the sake of the church. We remember those ministers that have been afflicted. We are rejoicing that the Reverend Fitzsimons has got out of hospital. He's back at home. He's very weak, and he has a long way to go until he is recovered. So continue to pray for him. Remember also the Reverend Abram and the Reverend Wilson in these days, as Dr. Lindsay Wilson, that the Lord will be with them in their illness. Some of you may have heard that the Reverend John Woods has also come down with the virus, and not only him, but it's now spread among family members. He, his wife, and three of his children are all suffering. So these are all folks to remember, and others that are in your mind and heart tonight. Let us pray. Lord, we can say with the hymn writer, here in thy name we are gathered. We come in no other way. We plead no other name. There is not a name that is higher and greater and more exalted among men than the name that thou hast given to thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is far above all, the one through whom we are to come in prayer and to plead his name and to ask our petitions through that mighty name. And we do so tonight. We're coming in the name of Jesus to present ourselves before thee after 2 months of not being here physically in the house of God. I want to thank thee for the congregation who have made it, individuals that are here, families that are here, children that are met here tonight. It is indeed a great sight to see the people again. And Lord, as our minds and our hearts join in worship and praise and adoration to God, we pray that thou will draw us not only closer to each other in the things of God, but closer to the great King and Head of the Church, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in the center of this gathering. We can be sure about that. We pray that you will give us a longing in our hearts for him. Draw us, and we will run after thee. And we want that drawing power. We want the Holy Spirit to, Lord, just draw us near to Christ tonight. Give us desires and give us burdens in our heart for him. Give us a love for the things of God. Oh, Lord, may we turn our eyes upon Jesus. May we look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Lord, I pray that this preacher's heart will be fixed on Christ tonight, and that thou will bless the church as we gather in Jesus' name. Remember those that are listening in tonight on the internet for various reasons. They're at home, some of them still shielding. We pray for them that you will be with them. Others listening from a distance, maybe even other countries, we pray that they will be blessed nevertheless as they become part of tonight's meeting and they join us on the internet. We do remember the sake of the church. We rejoice that our sister Sarah is well enough to be in God's house this evening. Continue to strengthen her, to mend her body, and to raise her up. And we remember others in the church who have been suffering. We think of Maud, now convalescing in a home, that thou will bless her there and strengthen her. We pray that you will remember the ministers that we've just mentioned, and adding to the other three, we think of the Reverend Woods tonight and his family, praying for their recovery. You know the needs of the local church. You know the needs of the mission field. Lord, you know the needs of those parts of the world, from home to abroad, that we have an interest in, where God providentially has opened doors for the free church, and we pray that you will send your blessing. Meet with us tonight now, draw graciously near, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I just mention, lest I forget, that the Vision magazine is available. If you didn't get it during lockdown, it's available tonight. If you subscribe to the current magazine, that's the one from North America, it's available tonight. They're at the door. And if you're going there and you're picking up these magazines, keep your distance, the one from the other. Don't congregate around the table, but just pick up the magazine and go on. Can I welcome you to the meeting tonight, to those that are present and those that are listening in? Can I remind our young people that tomorrow night is their meeting at 8 o'clock on Facebook, when our student assistant, Simon Anderson, will be speaking from the book of Habakkuk. And the young people are encouraged to read it before tomorrow night. Could I also mention something that you might be interested in on Saturday night? And it's an evening of gospel praise on Zoom. And you'll see there's a lot of people taking part there. Many of those names you will know. The Reverend Greenfield, for example, and Jonathan Logan. We have some folks from Romania as well, Lucci and Little John, Daniel Zach, all taking part. And I'm going to send the link to you. If you want to be part of that and listen to what's going on, it's at 7:30 on Saturday night. I'm told that you can start tuning in from 20 past 7. There's going to be a little time of community singing. Don't know how that's going to work on Zoom. We haven't tried it, but there's going to be a time of chorus singing. Maybe you're just going to listen to it and not participate. I'm not sure. So I will send the link to you on the announcement group. And anybody else that wants it, if you're not on the Hebron announcement group, if you can send me word, text me or ring me, I'll send it to your mobile. We continue with our prayer meeting on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, and that will continue on Zoom for the foreseeable future. The Sunday school is on Facebook at 10:30. The Bible class is on Zoom at 10:30. The providence of God in the life of Joseph is the topic that our brother Phil is continuing with. And then we return to public worship on the Sabbath day, 12 noon. I hope to be here to preach. And then family night service at 7. And we're going to have a testimony for about 10 minutes from Dipankar Nandi. He's going to send it to us. We're going to play that testimony, and then I'll preach. Now, I want you to notice that the season of prayer has been changed. We do need to bring it forward another half an hour to 5:30. So it'll be 5:30 to 6. If we kept it at 6, then our office bearers would be leaving the prayer meeting at about 10 past to get to the church so that they can get it all opened for people coming on the Sabbath evening. So do remember that, please, the earlier time at 5:30. Do thank you for your tithes and your offerings to the work of God. I want to acknowledge some missionary gifts. Received a gift of £2,000, a gift of £100, and a gift of £40. And these gifts mainly are for Brazil, the Philippines, and Romania. The reopening of worship at Hebron, the following outlines the safety regulations. And I just want to bring this to your attention again. This is what is required. Face masks must be worn at all times while in the building. All doors will be kept open to minimize touching of surfaces. The entrance will be managed to keep individuals 2 meters apart. Entrance will be via the link doors to ensure any queues are inside during wet and cold weather. Hand sanitizing station for all who enter. 2 meter markers are on the floor, as you know, to ensure queue maintains social distance. No one should attend who has COVID symptoms. Congregation will sit socially distanced, as you are tonight. Every other pew will be used, and distance markers will be placed between families and individuals. Families will be encouraged to arrive and sit together. 4 office bearers will direct where congregation will sit to ensure adherence to distancing. 2 office bearers will remain at the back of the church throughout the service. If anyone needs to leave, they will open the door for you and direct you where you need to go. Only the disabled toilet will be used during the service. The creche is not available. Individual Sunday school rooms are. If you want to take a child out, you can go to one of the rooms. The service is relayed there. The sound is. No hymn books will be in the pews. All hymns are projected. Congregation will remain seated at all times. There might be an occasion where we'll ask you to stand, maybe for a prayer, just to change your position. But that's the general rule. Exiting will be one row at a time, starting from the back as directed. And we're just asking you, no congregating after services. Go directly to your car. This is important. Churches were not demanded by the government to close, but they were encouraged. And you know, the main denominations took that, and they're not back yet. We closed for 2 months, and the presbytery took this decision, I believe very wisely, at the right time to return tonight and then on the Lord's Day. But remember, people are watching. One of our churches had their prayer meeting on Tuesday night, and the police turned up. Somebody had reported all these cars in the car park. But the police had done their homework and they came in. They were a wee bit embarrassed, actually, because the church had done nothing wrong, and they were very happy with what they found. But because a report had been made, they had to go, and they came in and they saw the people, and they were happy with what was going on. If someone takes unwell, we hope that's not the case. You'll be taken to the creche, if that's possible. That's close to the exit there. And the doors will be propped open to ensure no one needs to touch those doors. During the service, when doors are closed, only the office bearer will touch the handle to ensure no cross-contamination. Fogging machine will be used after each service. Link and disabled toilets will be cleaned after services have used. Now we sing together, 634, what various hindrances we meet in coming to the mercy seat, yet who that knows the worth of prayer but wishes to be often there. Is that how you feel tonight? I trust that it is. You know the worth of prayer. You know the power of prayer. And if you do know that in your heart, you'll want to be there more often. Let's sing this hymn together, please. open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 18. To a marvelous and yet very familiar portion of Scripture. These teachings of our Savior, and especially with regard to public prayer. Matthew 18, and we'll just read the section from verse 15 to 22. It's a section that really stands on its own. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. If he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Amen. May the Lord take his word and write it upon our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for these words of the Savior. They are old, yet ever new. Given 2,000 years ago, they are still as up to date today as they were when given at first. And Lord, as we come back for this first prayer meeting, this first gathering at the throne of grace in the public fashion, be in our midst, be one of our number, speak to our hearts, give us understanding, help us, Lord, to take in the message. And Lord, this preacher needs thee more than ever just now as we come to the word. Fill me with the grace that I need to bring the message, the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim it. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. And I want to take the 20th verse as our text this evening. And I want to preach on encouragement for the public prayer meeting. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. It's good to see you back tonight. And back especially at the public prayer meeting of the church. This place that has been called the powerhouse of the church. This is where business is done. This is where battles are fought and victories accomplished. This is where Satan, the strong man, and the hosts of hell are bound and defeated. This is where the power of the Holy Spirit of God is obtained, sending the church out like a mighty army in this world to conquer and to accomplish much for the glory of God. This is where the members of Christ's mystical body meet collectively with the great King and head of the church and enjoy sweet and intimate fellowship with the God of heaven. This is where you and I, who love the Savior, love each other more, for heart joins with heart as we come to unburden ourselves at the throne of heavenly grace. The hymn writer, speaking of this, wrote, there is a spot where spirits blend, where friend holds fellowship with friend. Though sundered far by faith we meet around one common mercy seat. Only those in the body of Christ, joined to each other in inseparable love, and joined, more importantly, to our common head, Jesus Christ, know the benefit and the pleasure of united prayer. The internet has had its place in these days of the pandemic. And where would we have been without it? Where would we have been 15, 20 years ago if this had have hit our world and hit our province? And so the internet has given us the facility to carry out almost every aspect of church life, including prayer meetings like this and the Sabbath services. And Zoom has played a wonderful part, because once we got on to Zoom in the prayer meetings, we were able to see each other, and that was the next best thing. But nothing beats the physical, personal, intimate gathering of the Lord's dear people in fellowship one with another, especially around the throne of heavenly grace. You see, as Spurgeon said, we shall never see much change for the better in our churches in general till the prayer meeting occupies a higher place in the esteem of Christians. Leonard Ravenhill, the great English evangelist, he said, "The true man of God is heartsick, grieved at the worldliness of the church, grieved at the toleration of sin in the church, grieved at the prayerlessness in the church. He is disturbed that the corporate prayer of the church no longer pulls down the strongholds of the devil." E.M. Bounds said, "What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men, men of prayer." A.W. Tozer said, "The neglected heart will soon be a heart overrun with worldly thoughts. The neglected life will soon become a moral chaos. The church that is not jealously protected by mighty intercession and sacrificial labors will before long become the abode of every evil bird and the hiding place for unsuspected corruption. The creeping wilderness will soon take over that church that trusts in its own strength and forgets to watch and pray." Matthew Henry, and I think that you are familiar with this quote, he said, "When God intends great mercy for his peoples, the first thing he does is to set them a-praying." And an unknown author, just to make one final little comment here by way of quotes from the past, said, "Prayer meetings were the arteries of the early church. Through them, life-sustaining power was derived." Jesus Christ is our great authority on the prayer meeting, the public prayer meeting. And he tells us here, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Jesus Christ was eminently a man of prayer. He stands out on the pages of Holy Scriptures as a great interceder and prayer warrior. We see him in private prayer. We've talked about this recently, rising up a great while before the dawn, at times going out into a secluded place in the mountain to pray. We see him in the agony of Gethsemane, and we also see him praying in public. He prayed at his baptism to that assembled crowd. Luke tells us that in Luke chapter 3 and verse 21. He prayed before the multitude at the tomb of his friend Lazarus before raising him from the dead. In John chapter 11 and verse 41, his great high priestly prayer of John 17 was in public before the disciples. It was Jesus who taught men ought always to pray and not to faint. He proclaimed, "My house shall be called the house of prayer unto all nations." We see from this that prayer should be one of the primary characteristics of any gathering of Christians. As Jesus designated the temple in Jerusalem as the place where God's people gathered for prayer and worship, so every church building should be designated as such a place. Above all other activities in the house of God today should be prayer and preaching. They go hand in hand. How tragic is the neglect of prayer generally in the Church of Jesus Christ today. Such is the decline of prayer that there are few churchgoers who can honestly say about their church, these are a people who pray. Never let us get into a state of such spiritual decay and departure that we neglect or we forget the place of prayer. I want Hebron to be known as a praying church where members here meet with God. I want this community to know that here in the town of Ballymoney, there is a people who meet with God at His throne. Some churches are characterized by powerful preaching. And of course, that's not a bad thing. We want our preaching to be as powerful as possible under the ministry and influence of the Spirit of God. Some churches are characterized by gifted musicians and singers, and we certainly want much beautiful music and singing to echo through the precincts of this church building. And some churches are characterized by a strong emphasis on evangelism, and that should be the case also. Some churches are characterized by generous giving, some by activities for the young people and the children, some by their friendliness and their hospitality, some by their good godly leaders, some by their solemn and fervent worship. And these are all important things in a thriving church. But by far the greatest characteristic to be found in a New Testament God-fearing church is prayer. A people that know God at the throne, that know how to lay hold upon Him and wrestle as Jacob wrestled, know how to plead with Him as Abraham pleaded with God, know how to intercede with God as Moses interceded with God. Jesus did not say, "My house shall be known as a house of preaching." He did not say, "My house shall be known as a place of melodious praise and singing. My house shall be known as a place of evangelism. My house shall be known as a place of sacrificial giving. My house shall be known as a place filled with children and youth. My house shall be known as a place of hospitality or godly leadership." While all these things have their place, and they are important, prayer, my dear friends, is essential. My house shall be called the house of prayer. What brought down the mighty power of God in the greatest revival of history, in the history of the church? It was prayer. You go and read again the opening chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, and you will see a band of God's people met together to pray around one common mercy seat. Here they are in obedience to Christ, tarrying, waiting upon God until the power came. And then, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, God unleashed His power upon that praying people. The answer came. Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them." I want to look at that text just briefly with you this evening. And here's my few short points that I want to make. There is a public assembly that our Lord is referring to here. And I want you to mark the words. If you haven't got them marked in your Bible, maybe if you mark your Bible, you'll put a line under these words. Or you've got a highlighter, you'll highlight these words. Gathered together. Just those two words. This is not the private place of devotion. This is not the closet praying. of Matthew 6, where Jesus told his people to go into the closet and shut the door, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. This is not coming apart, withdrawing oneself as Jesus did into the mountain or any other place. This is not going into some secluded spot. No, this is the public assembly of the saints. And here is Jesus specifies it. His people are gathered together. It is true of all church gatherings, Sabbath days, other meetings in the church, but especially we have an application here to the prayer meeting. The whole context here seems to show this, as you think, for example, of the previous verse, verse 19, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask. This is the prayer meeting. This is where even a small number are gathered together in a public fashion. If they come together and they ask of the Lord, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Brethren and sisters, we are gathered together tonight. And that is the will of God. And that is the mind of God when it comes to prayer. I'm so pleased to see you here. I've been looking forward to tonight immensely. There's no other way to interpret the words gathered together than as you see them there in the Bible before you. You can't think of them in any other way. There's no kind of spin that you can put on it to make it mean something else. Gathered together. You know how much emphasis the Free Church puts in prayer, both privately and publicly. Our churches were born in prayer. Our missions and special times have always been bathed in prayer. When someone becomes a member of the church, one of the things that they sign up to before the Lord is to be faithful and supportive in the place of prayer. And you know how much we value this place and how vital it is to the well-being and the success and prosperity of God's work. Sadly, there are some professing Christians who do not attend, who do not feel these times are important for them, for whatever reason. They never feel prompted, and they never feel burdened. I would make a special appeal. If there is such, if there is someone even tonight out there listening in, maybe somebody from our own church, maybe somebody from another congregation, some believer out there across the world, let me make a special appeal to you. The Lord Jesus Christ here is speaking about a public assembly and the importance of it, where God's people gather together. I don't want to be seen as a preacher who gets at those who fail to turn up for prayer meetings, whether it's a Thursday night or a Sabbath day. It has never been my policy or my desire to be a get-at preacher. The great question, however, is why? Why do God's people never see, some of them, the importance of prayer? And I haven't got the answer to that question. I would, however, ask the question in simple terms, do you understand what Jesus is teaching here? Do you know what this little phrase, and I'm not trying to patronize you in any way, do you know what the little phrase means that the Lord uses? Gathered together. What is the Lord saying to his disciples? What is he saying to his church? What is he saying to you and I? Does gather together mean what it says? Of course it does. What do you say to Christ as you read the words that he has given? These are the words the Lord spoke when he was here on the earth. The mighty God in the flesh, instructing here as he did in other places on the subject of prayer. What do you say to the Lord when you read a verse like this and it speaks about being gathered together? with honesty of heart, do you respond by saying, this was for the disciples 2,000 years ago? It's not really for today. Can you honestly say that before the Lord, if that's your opinion? Are you saying that somehow God has dismantled the need for prayer in this 21st century? Are you saying this evening that this is just for the leaders of the church? It's not for me. What do you say to Christ? Because it is unto Christ that you will answer one day, not to me or any other leader in this church. There is a public assembly, and our blessed Savior speaks about it here, gathered together. And then secondly, there is a powerful authority. In my name. We don't assemble in the name of the church. We don't assemble in the name of the preacher. We don't assemble in the name of any mere man. No, the all-important matter is coming together in Jesus' name. That name that is above all others. That name that is exalted far above all. We are gathering around Jesus. That's what it means. He's the focal point. We are gathering with the blessing of Jesus. We are gathering into the house of God with great boldness and authority because we're coming in Jesus' name. You know, the actual phrase that the Lord uses here, if we can just change it slightly, means into, rather than just in my name, it means into my name. And there is a subtle difference. It's conveying the idea of love to Christ, a yearning to be with Him, united to Him, in holy concourse and fellowship. When you think of the gathering of the church, especially in places like this where prayer will be made, is this how we come? Do we come in this fashion? With a love burning in our heart, with strong desires to meet Christ, with delight and joy, because you know that you're coming to meet with your blessed Savior, whom you love with all of your heart. My third point, just very quickly, I don't want you to miss it. There is a personal centrality. Jesus says, there am I in the midst of them. Where is Jesus in the prayer meeting? He says, I'm in the midst. He's not up here closer to the preacher because I'm the preacher. Or sitting yonder with some elder or deacon because they're a leader in the church. My dear friends, Jesus Christ is in the center. He's in the middle of our gatherings, close to each dear supplicating believer. Blessed be God tonight. Our wonderful Savior is near to each worshiper when we come to pray. And if for no other reason, here's a reason to be at the public gathering, to be in the place of prayer. Jesus is in the midst of that gathering. Is that not a place where you want to be? Where your heart draws you to be? And then one other thought. There is a pleasant reality. And it's simply this, where two or three are gathered. Lest any little group be discouraged when it meets in prayer, where there might only be a handful of people. I think of the persecuted lands, where people can't meet like you and I. And maybe just a small gathering, two or three or a few more, they're huddled away in some secluded place, lest they're found out, because to be found out would mean imprisonment. Maybe even martyrdom. But the Lord's with them. Even that small group of persecuted believers in some of these lands. I think of remote parts of the world where maybe the population is sparse and they're just a handful of Christians. The Lord's with them, you know, when they come to pray. I think of small churches. I think of places that are in decline. I think maybe of a wee family that are gathered to pray together. Jesus is there with that group. Jesus Christ is teaching that the gatherings of his people do not need to be large gatherings for his presence to be among them. It might even be as few as two or three. Jesus is just as much present with that little assembly as in the great congregation. He is not motivated by numbers. Spurgeon said two or three are mentioned, not to encourage absence, but to cheer the faithful few who do not forget the assembling of themselves together as the manner of some is. Large numbers are not essential to the presence of Christ. Particular places are not essential. Special times are not essential. Just where two or three come together in the all-precious and the lovely name of Jesus, he says, I am there. I'm there in the midst. And there's special power in public prayer. This whole passage is teaching that. I mentioned verse 19, even where two of you shall agree. Two of you, bound together in mind and soul when they come to pray. Jesus says, whatever you ask concerning the things here on this earth, it'll be done. There is power where saints gather in holy agreement, the one with the other, when minds and hearts are united in holy love and holy purpose. In the Greek language, this word agree is literally to symphonize. Jesus wants us to complement each other like a great orchestra. It's a metaphor taken from a number of musical instruments set to the same key and playing the same tune. And here it means a perfect agreement of hearts, desires, wishes, and voices of two or more persons praying to God. Jesus declares, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And we must take advantage of this. We must be found often at the public place of prayer. We must blend our hearts and our voices together. We must bring our desires collectively to the Lord. We must be bound together in love and send a volume unitedly to heaven, a volume of prayer. You know, we say we have got burdens. I'm sure we do. You don't get through this life very far without having burdens to bear. We say we have these burdens, but we're never at the powerhouse to share them. We profess loudly, I'm troubled about the unconverted loved ones in my family, perhaps, or in my friendship circle, who are on the verge of death and hell, and they're going down into a lost eternity, and yet we are never motivated to join the public assemblies, to cry with one heart. We tell one another we are concerned about the state of the country, yet not in the place of prayer. We say we long for revival. Well, every revival came as a result of prayer, but we never attend a prayer meeting. We say we're troubled about the pandemic that is sweeping across the nations of this world, and yet many of God's people to this very day, over the past year, have never once found their way to the house of God to pray. Not bothered enough to be together where our prayers, like a great symphony of a great orchestra, can rise to God like sweet music in his ears as we plead on earth in godly agreement of heart and desire and spiritual longing. You know the text. It's a memory verse, isn't it, really? We've spoken on it tonight. You've been able to quote it for years. Let this verse of Scripture be with you, men and women and young people. Let it be with you tonight. You're here to pray. Thank you for that. In the coming weeks, months, years ahead, please remember this verse of Scripture, the words of the Savior. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And Jesus Christ wants that to be a blessing and an encouragement to you and me tonight. May God write his word upon your heart and mine. I've just given you what's been on my heart. May the Lord use it for his glory. Ore Torre, one of the great American evangelists, he said, "We are too busy to pray, and so we are too busy to have power. We have a great deal of activity, but we accomplish little. Many services, but few conversions. Much machinery, but few results." May we always have time for God in prayer. Here's the matters to pray for. In a little while, I'm going to bring this part to a conclusion, and then we can have a time of prayer. The meeting will stop as far as the broadcast is concerned. But I'm going to throw these slides up. If you're at home and you want to think about these things, pray over them now, then you can do that. And then the congregation here will come to pray about them in a few minutes. The ministry here, we're back in the church. So thankful for that. We're praying for gospel opportunities. We've had them. Thank God for the witness that has been made in lockdown conditions and conversions. We want more. We pray for the children and the youth. And we don't forget about the seniors who have been so much shut in these days, many of them. Pray for the office bearers and the workers of the church. Sought before God to carry on the ministry during the last year, and they've done well. Our missionary work, always near to the heart of this church. And then we think of our National Health Service, and we have nurses here tonight, maybe doctors too, care workers, hospital workers. We're still remembering them every day. Sarah's name's still here as we think of the sick. Sister Maud, Martha, Willie, Chrissy. These names need the special touch of God. Raymond Stevenson, Fred Buick. Brother Fred rang me yesterday just as he was going to bed. So for him it was nighttime, for me it was maybe around lunchtime, and he'd had a very poor day. He had a burning temperature, really had felt so unwell. The doctor had given him antibiotics. There's an infection in his body that doesn't work. Fred will have to go into hospital to get treatment, so we would ask you to remember him very especially. Sister Jane, Madge, all come through treatment. Barbara, Jim, Joanne Peden, we've talked about her tonight already. Ellen McConaughey, Peter Moy, his daughter-in-law Lucy, Zach, John Finley, Thomas McKelvey, and Kim Wagner, Bill Woods, Mark Allison, Paula Fitzsimons, Lindsay Wilson, Niall Boyd, and Olive Maxwell. We've been thinking about that which continues to plague the land of Brazil and the mass graves, the floods that came, the orphans in India, these children month by month getting their little package to keep them going month at a time. This work was done in the past week over in Pakistan. This is a new toilet facility in a very remote area. And you know the reason why girls that were going out to find facilities. Some of them were being kidnapped, taken away, abused, and treated shamefully. So this just brings it within the precincts of their wee hamlet or village to keep them safe. The sewing centre continues, and there's new girls at it now, learning this trade, coming in to study the Bible together as they do, and to pray, as you can see from the slides tonight. These ladies they just have to bring the kids with them like we do. We've been thinking about the Philippines, the new contacts there, helping the Romanian families, the Roma people, the ministry of Deborah House, talking to our sister Lorena this evening. And there's more girls coming in, and very soon they'll have capacity of 22 altogether. There's a family of three girls coming in, and the fourth sister who being taken into care is going to the other program called MISPA, and this is for girls in society who are with child. And so that sister, I think she's 13 or 14, she's had a little baby. She's going to be brought in and cared for with a Christian influence. We talked a lot about the container project. Let me just tell you that there's been a change of plan as from this week. Past couple of days, I've seen developments, and we heard about this today. On Monday, the house of one of the families that are helped in Rekash. Some of you have been to that very poor village where they work with the school children. Well, this house has been burned, and the family lost everything. When the school principal called me, that is Lorena, yesterday to ask MLI for help, the container seemed to be a good option. It's going to be too expensive to rebuild this structure. And so tomorrow morning, the container will be taken to Rekash. The mayor of the village or the town will build the foundation and arrange for the transportation. The windows and the doors that were sent will be used. And our sister will start contacting businessmen for materials to insulate the container. This is one of the little children who lost her home. And there's five children altogether. So you just pray for these people in need. The exams have started in Uganda this week. And there's more at the end of the month for the P7s. I think it's standard four just now. So these are all matters that we set before you. You've been praying perhaps at home as you've seen these slides. We're going to come now to a wee season of prayer ourselves for about 15 or 20 minutes here in-house. The live broadcast will stop now, and the congregation here will have our time of prayer.